This is Up Close and Personal on the Superstation CJOB 68. A good day to you. I'm Casey Wilson. This is a program where we get behind the headlines and we hear the stories of Manitobans who are making a difference, who have interesting, intriguing stories, who are leaders in their industries. And our guest today is absolutely no exception to that rule. Jimmy Janakis. And what do the Thunderbird Restaurant, the Rib Shack, Pony Corral restaurants all have in common? They were all started by legendary businessman Jimmy Janakis. His roots, though, are humble, arriving in Winnipeg from Greece at the age of 15 years old. Jimmy Janakis, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to meet you. 15 years old, you arrived in Canada from Greece. All by yourself?
All by myself, and I was greeted by my first cousin, which today her name is Anne Bazunas. She's my second mother, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I arrived in here in 1950, November the 22nd. I left Greece, it was 80, and I came in here, it was about 60 below.
Or so it felt.
Yeah.
Why Winnipeg?
Well, the reason I came in here, I couldn't go to the States where my uncles are in Fargo, North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And it was easier to get to Winnipeg in here. That's why I came to Winnipeg. And after 5 years, I should have gone to Fargo, North Dakota. But after a while, you get established in here. And I love Winnipeg. And like I said before, I wouldn't live in here with anything. Because it was future for me. You know, I work hard and so on. And I did what I could. And went to school about 3 years. But it didn't amount to much. But I figured I'd go on my own.
So your first 15 years of your life were spent in Greece, in a small village there?
Yeah.
And that's where you left your mother, your father, your siblings?
Everybody's, back. Then I brought them in later.
So how difficult was it for a 15-year-old boy to leave his family, to leave the place that was so familiar to you, to come somewhere so unfamiliar and so cold?
You see, my anxious ambitions was I will come to America and make a fortune to go back in 5 years. Obviously, here I am after 55 years.
Were you sad when you left? Were you scared?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But later, I came to a home, so I was comfortable.
So you had hopes to fulfill a dream. And what about your parents? Were they...
My parents are back. We write, in the old days, you write a letter, took 20 days to get there, so on. And I was young, I got acquainted with people here and so on. And you thought my English would have been better by now, but it's so hard.
Hey, it's fine to me. So, 15 years old, you're living with your uncle and your aunt.
No. When I came in, I was living with my first cousin. She was Janakis before. Then she married to a guy from Saskatchewan called Bazunas.
So she's your second mother.
Yeah.
And were they involved in the restaurant industry, or?
Well, her husband opened up Pierre's in here before Coco's, before your days in here. And he's an old man now, still alive. He's 88 years old.
So when you were 15, where did you work? You were a shoe shiner?
Yeah, I started as a shoe shine boy on Donald Street. 10 cents a shoe, and I hope the guy scored me a nickel.
And you did this during the week?
Yeah.
And then during the weekends, because you were only 15 years old, and you went to school.
Yeah.
Daniel McIntyre.
Daniel Mack.
And what did you want to be at that point? What were you hoping to...
Well, my uncles, they wanted me to be a lawyer, but with my head in mind, I don't think I would have been a dishwasher. So I ended up owning my own shoe shine parlor two years later, hat cleaning, right there next door to Rialto here.
At the age of 17, you opened your own shoe
shine parlor? About 18, yeah.
And how did that go? I mean, did you like
it? Beautiful.
Yeah?
We stayed there for 2 years. Somehow, I got a little bit of money together. So then I went to Brandon.
Okay.
And I learned the restaurant business, and I come back, and I bought the Manhattan Cafe in here in 1957.
So you were early 20s.
Yeah. Then we started from there. 5 years later, and then I brought my brother John, 1954. Then I had to go on my own. I was with my brother, my wife's brother. And we bought Danny's Quick Lunch on Euclid and Main. Those days, Main Street was beautiful.
Mm.
It had the farmer's market there. There was action. We used to sell bacon and eggs, toast, coffee, the whole works for 25 cents.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah.
For 25 cents?
Yeah.
What a bargain. But back then...
We made a living, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so, in the meantime, your parents, your family are still...
Then I go on, and I brought my two sisters and my young brother. Then I brought my mother and my father after. We all did together after.
You had worked...
Of course.
To pay their way...
Of course.
To pay their way,
yeah,
over. And then did you...
Everybody worked afterwards. You know, after I brought my brother John, we worked. And I opened up the restaurants, and you know how they starting with... Same thing with the Italians, the immigrants come in the old days. They all used to stay in one house. What are you going to do?
And that's what you did as well.
Yeah.
Were your parents...
Do what you had to do.
Were your parents proud of what
you
did?
Oh, yeah,
done?
Very proud. Yeah.
Jimmy Giannakis is our guest on Up Close and Personal. We'll hear more of his very interesting story after this on CJOB 68. Jimmy Giannakis is our guest on Up Close and Personal, of course, owner of the Pony Corral. And so we're talking about all the different things that you got involved with. You started your career as a shoe shiner. You opened a shoe parlor when you were 18 years old. Bought your first restaurant, or opened your first restaurant, the Manhattan. You sold that 2 years later. You then opened Danny's Quick Lunch on Market and Main Street. And then a year later, you opened the Thunderbird on McPhillips. And that still stands 47 years later.
My brother John's still there. He could have retired a long time ago, but what is he going to do now? He got get used to cooking.
And so are you involved with the Thunderbird at all anymore?
No, no. No, he's my brother. I go there, eat for nothing. Then at least I get something.
How do you decide? I mean, you went through so many restaurants in the beginning of your career. How do you decide when it's time to sell and look for something new?
Well, you just decide. Time will tell you. You know what I mean? We're three brothers together, and then it's time coming. They get married. We have to split, and it's me and Perry. We want to have the Rib Shacks, which Perry is very successful now in Pembina Highway, because we had too many then, too, because of kind of the different partnerships and so on. Better to be on your own.
Are there challenges working with family?
Well, they God is good and God is bad.
Yeah.
You know, they're okay or they're not married. We all get married. Everybody's got 10 opinions. So what do you do?
And you married to Mary.
Yeah.
And
or Mary and married to me. I don't know.
No, is she from Greece as well?
Yeah.
And how did you meet?
I mean, Mary, I used to live on 315 Vaughan Street in a rooming house. Then she arrives. She's supposed to go to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. With my luck, she stayed here.
And
so we got involved, yeah.
Happily married. Yeah. How many years now?
50 years.
50 years married.
Yeah.
With three children.
Yeah.
And, of course, Peter, your son, who's very involved in the business today. And you also have two daughters.
Yeah.
And are they involved in the business?
My daughter, Athena, she's a housewife in Minneapolis, which is happily married. And, you know, and fellas, of course, she's happily married. She's got two children, and you're one boy and a girl. And she's with me at the head office.
Okay.
So we're happy as ever. So my brothers are happy to be on their own with their family, and I'm happy to be on my own. So
you must have a very close family.
Very close, yeah.
So you work together, you probably play together, you celebrate everything together.
Well, we have a difficulty at times. We doesn't, you know.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
So a few years later, 5 years after you bought the second Thunderbird, you bought Town and Country on Kennedy, and this is where, I guess, so many of your memories from your career come from.
Yeah. Well, we bought the Town and Country. I met Ben Hotskin. Ben Hotskin was the owner of the Jets in here, and also he owned the plaza where we had the Thunderbird. Then we dealing a wheel in the time, and I'll be galping on the Town and Country before, and anyhow, Hotskin took it over. Benny didn't know what to do over the, and then I inherited it, 1968.
Tell us some of the people that came to the Town and Country, that played there, that entertained there. There were many entertainers that came through there.
When I got to Town and Country, I was very young, but, you know, I was admired to challenge such a thing because it was 1,300 seats restaurant, and we had 180 employees. So I had the gut feeling I want to do it with the help of my brothers. So then I went to see the chief of police because the place was let down, and I hate violence either, so... Mm-hmm. We figured out the only way we make the place if we put $10 cover. Those days, $10 is $100 today.
Wow.
So we brought everybody in, those that could afford. Then we have to give them something for their money.
Okay.
So we brought, like, the plotters, the ink spots, the music I grew up with, the 50s and the 60s. And that's what he made the place. Then time gone on. The cabarets, they gone out of style because the entertainment got so high. Then we won is a Studio 44 disco.
Yeah.
And we spent lots of money there. Obviously, we came too late. Then we turned the place to Stage West. We create partners and so on. And me and my brothers went back to the Thunderbird. Then we start the Rip Shack. Then that's where we are now.
Who are
What
are some of your fondest memories from Town and Country, from some of the entertainment that came through there?
My best and favorite, was the Neem Entertainment. You did very well.
Yeah.
Those, groups are nice people. By the time they know, they're gone. But those are good. They will bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
See, I brought SOS Society of Seven from Hawaii, the best top group in Hawaii. Yeah, it was fantastic. Then we went in with the Hermes Hermans. You know where Hermes Hermans is?
Mm-hmm.
You're too young.
No.
Mrs. Brown had a lovely daughter.
Okay.
Yes, they had the son. Then I brought Penny Lane from London, England. She was a movie star. And we bought the Four Aces, the Four Lads, the Plotters, the Ink Spots.
So you were...
We had them all.
You were the place to be.
Yeah, well, it was the place, yeah. And, of course, it was other places, but with the type of entertainment I was bringing.
Some of the other entertainers...
It was sort of a wine and dine place, you know what I mean? Yeah. Later night, we'd light it out to a dance. We had a large dance floor for 200 people.
And so you were there every day, every night?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you have to be there.
Yeah. And at that time, did you have a family?
Well, yes. Yeah. My wife is very understandable. So
yeah. Barbra Streisand, Fats Domino, Natalie Cole, Frank Sinatra Jr., just a few of the entertainers who performed there. Was that during your days there? Or
my days, all of them, except Barbra Streisand. Barbra Streisand, before honor. And he fired her.
Okay.
1962. She was a kid then.
Did you have, you show me some of the pictures of those who have come through. Do you have a wall at your house of all these people that you've met?
You know, unfortunately, I had this and somebody replaced him, or we went from Stage West, from the Studio 44.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't very nice because some guy dumped him in the garbage. What happens? I couldn't find him. I had an election, Frank Sinatra, Bob Hope. Everybody.
You've met all these people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever keep in touch with any of them? Or
well, they're most of them dead now.
Yeah. Well,
see?
Of course.
So
but during the lifetimes.
See, I was a young fella doing these people.
Yeah.
But I grew up in the city. Yeah. So I was talking to my friend Ted Vardalos in Onyaka Pizza. Says, how can a Greek fix pizza? He says, the Greeks have the pizza, not the Italians.
Jimmy Janakis is our guest on Up Close and Personal. More coming up after this on CJOB 68. He arrived in Winnipeg on a cold November day in 1950 from the warm beaches of Greece. He was 15 years old. He began working as a shoe shiner on Donald Street during the weekends to make ends meet while going to school at Daniel Mac, opened a shoe parlor, and then began his career as a restaurateur. Jimmy Janakis joins us on CJOB 68 on Up Close and Personal. And Jimmy, we were talking about some of the entertainers that came through the Town and Country on Kennedy when you had it. And who were some of the more interesting people that you've met?
Well, my favorite actually was Roy Orbison, because obviously his life, he had lots of problems, and he was talking to me about it. And all the Neem entertainers, I mean, I had no problems with them. But the new theory, like today, whatever, it doesn't matter. I have 200,000 house speakers.
Yeah.
They got to bring their own so they can blow my ears out.
So there were egos back then.
The egos, yeah. The egos every year. Yeah.
So, and what did these entertainers think? I mean, back in the day when they were coming here, what did they think about Winnipeg? Was it difficult to come here?
It was very. Some of them they come from down south.
Yeah.
I don't blame them either. You know, in the old days it was cold here, 60 below.
Not like today.
No, it's unbelievable.
You've
been here 55 years. I never such a thing like it. Well, yeah, those there are nice guys. They are nice guys. Doesn't matter what age and so on. Can I tell you?
How much would it cost to bring somebody like Roy Orbison to Winnipeg?
Roy Orbison used to cost $10,000 a week.
$10,000 a week.
But see, now you got to have a band behind it. Jimmy King and his orchestra. It was a Winnipeg thing. He was also a writer for the Free Press. So you bring another 12-piece in the back. So you're looking at $20,000 a week. Plus your advertising, you're looking $25,000.
You described this, you know, as the perfect life for a young married man. I mean, you'd eat dinner at home, and then you'd go to the town and country till earlier in the morning.
Yeah. So now, also, you come to the town and country, you can wine and dine with a soft music, because we had a house music called Lockport Studio Band.
Yeah.
And the guys from England, you imagine. However, he played to the public. Well, the public was all playing the old music. And the young, as the night goes up, you up the music.
Did you see a lot of entertainers start their careers in the town and country?
Yeah, the kid by the name Alan.
Alan.
Yeah, imitating Elvis Presley. I bought him from Seattle. We made him here, me and Gene Talpiner with the advertising. And I tell you what I did. And everybody thought I was crazy. I was coaching this kid because I liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, his name was Al Myron, and it's called Alan. He's a Jewish kid.
Okay.
And I grew up with the Jewish people here, which I admire him. Anyhow. The point is this. The kid, when he is ready to go on, we build him out, and I close the doors, and I say to the public, I'm sorry, there's no room for today. Come tomorrow. Yeah. Meantime, nobody was inside. So when we opened up, it was lined up from Portage all the way to Kennedy.
Wow.
The kid wanted to go on, and I had these curtains automatically. I was the only. He couldn't go on. He says, he called me Papa Jimmy, coming up back. And yeah, I can't do it. I had the phone there. I says, give me a double brandy. I'm going to back drink this, you goddamn punk. Parma Landage. I push him right into the audience. To Dell today, I don't know, I lost track of him, but he can become famous. I paid him $2,500 a week, and in the end, I had to pay him $15,000.
Well, you made him yourself.
Yeah.
So why, when did the decision come to close the town and country? When was it enough?
1979, the cabarets, they're all closing all over America.
Mm-hmm.
Because the entertainment came, the nostalgia came so high, we couldn't afford them.
Yeah.
Roy Orbison died. If the Plotters, the Ink Spot. When I pay him $10,000 a week, and I got to pay $20,000. But the other expenses, $35,000, the room couldn't pay that kind of money.
Was it a sad day for you?
Well, it was. Then we switched it into Studio 44.
Mm-hmm.
I should have won Country Western, but the place was too classy. And another thing was, you know, I mean, what I was thinking, it was a wine and dine thing, mm-hmm. and my thinking wasn't right. If I won Country Western, it would be the booming thing in the world. Because Country Western never dies.
Were you big into music, or did you become a music person or interested in music?
I used to like music. I used to be a quiet dancer. I used to go to Arthur Moody's in here and so on, and I always, you know, I mean, do the Greek dancing and so on. I love that kind of life, so music was, you know, I like music.
You were so busy. You were so immersed in career at such a young age. Did you have time to go out and have
you
fun?
You always have time to go someplace. You know, if you don't, then I travel a lot, too, you know.
What'd you do as a young Winnipeg man living here?
We used to have lots of fun. The old days, we used to go for 25 cents, and you go to the canteens, you know, dancing and mm-hmm. so on. It was no liquor. So you bring your own flask.
Okay. Just I didn't.
It was more drugs there than they are today.
And then you said you took a train out to Winnipeg.
Well, yeah, Winnipeg. See, you used to take the Moonlight train for a dollar to Winnipeg Beach, Grand Beach. Manaki Lodge, which is in Ontario,
mm-hmm.
is not there anymore.
No.
So it was lots of fun.
Lots of things.
There's other things, like in today, you know. We're getting older, we think these kids that don't know how to do things, but it's obvious they think we're crazy.
What do you like most about living in Winnipeg? I mean, comparing to your upbringing in Greece, such a different place.
See, don't forget I grew up in here.
Yeah.
I spent 15 years in Greece in the village right after the war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Greece had lots of problems. Greeks among Greeks, you know, it was the communists and the other side. And I saw all that thing growing up there. So you want to get out of there as fast as you can to better yourself and your family. Now it's a different days.
Yeah.
But I'm going back after 50 years, it's a different story. Europe is a different.
The Rib Shack came along. You opened that up with your youngest brother, Perry.
Yeah.
And is that when your son, Peter, became involved in the business?
Yeah. And Peter followed my footsteps. I wanted him to be a lawyer, a doctor, but anyhow, I let him do what he wants to do. And I think he's doing a good job, and I'm proud of him.
And Pony Corral Restaurant, how later did that come along?
See, we bought the Pony Corral in 1983,
mm-hmm.
and it was switched to a Rib Shack. Because, you know, we thought the Rib Shack, now is the time to go for ribs and so on. 7 years later, Bishop Grana comes in, and the city sends me a nice letter. They're going to give me the tour.
Okay.
So I says, why don't you give me a helicopter? So 1986, I think, we move where we are now, the First Pony Corral.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a Burger King.
Okay.
It was a tough area. Then we start with the car show. I used to have the car shows with the Thunderbird and Cinvitel, 1962. And my son now is becoming a thing. Then I hope with the new location now, we get the river to get the boats there.
So
Pier 7.
So your son, Peter, is the one who is more involved in the cars and
everything now. So it's him on my way out of retirement. I'm right behind him. So I think he's doing a good job.
Jimmy Janakis is our guest on Up Close and Personal, legendary restaurateur in Winnipeg. And we'll hear more of his story after this on CJOB 68. Welcome back to Up Close and Personal on CJOB 68, where we are hearing some stories from Jimmy Janakis, and you have many, many stories to tell, Jimmy.
I'm sure of it.
Through your time at Town & Country. And how many years were you at Town & Country before you?
We're about 15 years there.
And then you went on to the Rib Shack, on to the Pony Corral. And now, I mean, you've been in this business for so
Making
many...
the dishes now, yeah.
You're how old?
I'll be 72 in August.
Still working, 16
yeah.
hours a day.
Yeah.
7 days a week.
Whatever. I don't know if you call it work now, but I'm there now. Somehow my employees think maybe they're better off if I get out of there.
So what keeps you? What keeps you going back every single day?
Friends, people come in, I work. You know, you don't call this work, but anyhow, when they're busy, I jump in and then help them.
You don't see it as work. To you, it's your life.
To me, it's my life, my livelihood. It's the way I brought up. If I'm busy, I take my jacket off, put a apron on, and go and give him my hand.
I would never guess your age by looking at you. I mean, how do you stay young? How do you keep young?
Drink olive oil.
Drink olive oil. Is that the secret to longevity?
Thank you. Yeah, but you get old, you get old. But exercise is the answer.
When do you find time to exercise?
You always find time to do anything. A couple of hours a day, they were not going to kill you, so... If you sleep 5 hours, 6 hours a night, it's enough now.
That's all you sleep for?
Yeah.
You ever get tired? You ever?
No, I never got tired in my life. Never.
Never?
No.
How come? I mean, what's your secret?
My secret is I don't think I never had the other one. I don't want to be like Gaspar Dallas with the, what is it, the movie there, the... What they have, like Javix in there? What they call it? Windex.
Oh, Windex, yes, yeah. Yes.
So the olive oil is good, but it's a good oil to have.
You never get tired. Is this because you love what you do?
Yeah.
You don't see...
If you don't like what you do, don't go in it. That's what I love. The restaurant is my life. That's what it's all about.
So you don't mind all the time? And do you still get a lot of time to see your wife, to see your family?
Probably my wife doesn't want to see me anymore. Of course I have time.
Yeah.
Listen... I don't work continuously 16 hours a day. You're on alert at 16 hours. In your mind, you're 24 hours a day.
And probably, too, you're working around so many young people in the restaurant mm-hmm. industry. Do they keep you young as well?
And, oh, yeah.
And keep nice
to, my father used to tell me, when you get old, go with the young.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you're young, go with the old. You learn something.
And you can still keep up.
Because you go with the old, you get old.
You feel old.
Yeah. Huh?
And you don't feel old.
No.
Do you ever see yourself stopping? Do you ever see yourself settling down?
No, if I working? Was to stop, I'd be dead.
You'll never not work.
No. Well, I go away now. I go to Florida for a couple of months. I go to Greece for 3 months or whatever. So it's.
Any regrets?
Like, no. No, it's not. And I tell you again, I always say in my previous interview in my young days, I will never leave here for anything. This is a beautiful town. I know you're not from Winnipeg, but see... Growing up in here in the old days, we had lots of things going. Maybe it wasn't that, you know, it was poor, but we had lots of fun.
You must have made so many friendships here.
Oh, yeah. It's to me, I don't think bad. I'm a little bit outspoken sometimes, which is not good. I don't know if it's good or not, but it's no evil things.
You still get to travel a lot, like you said,
yeah,
to Florida
yeah.
and to other places?
To me, I never had no enemies. Even when you're on a cabaret, sometimes people get drunk. I always look after them. I always try to do my best. And I don't believe this bullying and kicking people down when they're drunk. It's, no.
Is that the secret to being a successful business person? Is it don't have any enemies?
No, I don't.
Be kind?
I don't think I have any enemies. Maybe I do and I don't know.
But how do you make it? I mean, it's such a competitive industry, the hospitality industry. If you had to give one piece of advice to somebody starting out in this industry, what would you say to them?
Say, go to work and do what you like to do. You know what I'm saying? Even I have lots of employees. Some of them, they hate me. But after 2-3 weeks, they love me.
Why is that?
Working ethics. When you're here to work, or the waitress goes on the floor, she makes more money than the owner if she's smart. Because service, and don't over-serve. You know, if you over-sell somebody drinks, they're just drunk. And it's a problem. You know, you got to be sharp. Jimmy, right or wrong.
Jimmy Janakis, our guest on Up Close and Personal. This is CJOB 68. We're back after this short break. And we're getting up close and personal today with Jimmy Janakis, legendary restaurateur in Winnipeg, of course, of the Pony Corral, Rib Shack. What else did you start, Jimmy? The Thunderbird, Danny's Quick Lunch. I'm going back to, 1957, to the Manhattan, which you owned and sold 2 years later in 1954. Maybe some of our listeners will remember when you had the tea parlor.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
So what's next for you?
Next for me, I don't know. When I go upstairs, I got lots of friends there. I don't know. I hope I have.
But you have things going on within your business?
Mm-hmm.
A big move right now?
Oh, yeah. We're going to we're relocating the old Pony to Pier 7.
Okay.
It used to be Cork and Dock before.
Yeah.
Then we hope we get the boats in the front on the river like we do the cars, then we're okay. And we're redoing the whole place in there, so it'd be nice.
What keeps you busy besides traveling outside of work? What kind of things do you like to do? You're very involved.
I go home and listen to my wife if her bone's hurting. That's
your businesses are very involved with the community. You do many things for Winnipeg.
I try to do as much as I can, yeah. Churches, things, you know how it is in business.
So when your son was coming into the business, Peter, what advice did you give him on how to succeed?
Well, the first thing I did, I put him in the kitchen to wash some dishes so he can see which is better, school or restaurant. But obvious, he learned very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because did you ever finish? Did you finish school?
No.
High school? No.
I had up to grade 9, I think. So those days, grade 9, I think today is like grade 12. I don't know.
But you made it.
My thinking.
But you made
because
it.
Because I had the working smarts at all.
Are there words that you live by? Is there a motto that you live by?
Honestly, if you make a deal with somebody, you stick with it. I don't need a piece of paper to tell me something. If somebody done me, done myself. So I thought my son the same way. You walk away and you learn. But you never learn anyhow.
How do you want to be remembered? As an honest person? Or
I want to remember as myself. If you're yourself, you're success in life. If you're not, you're phony. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but that's what it's all about. And you can ask all my friends I know. That's what they think of me.
And you probably have a lot of friends.
We have. I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's good.
You have a lot of friends?
It's nice to have friends.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And a big family, close family.
If you're without a family, you're nothing.
Jimmy Janakis, our guest on Up Close and Personal. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Sure, lovely to be here.
All the
thank
best.
You. You're a nice lady.
This is CJOB 68.